Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. I might just mention to you that I'll be absent next Friday. I'm going over to England and actually will be speaking on Friday evening in London. So I'll not be here with you, but in the will of the Lord, we'll be back the following week. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Reading the two verses that we have been looking at, that is verse 9 and verse 10. Those verses read, "By faith, he," that's Abraham, "sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." As we continue looking at the list of bright and shining lights that we have here in Hebrews chapter 11, the bright and shining lights of the holy lives of godly people recorded here. Of course, we're looking at them in order to learn from them. Take them as our example. Well, here we're looking at what God has to say about Abraham. Last week, just to remind you, I spoke of the fact that just as Abraham had promised to him the land of Israel and to all his seed, that is his descendants, we have a land of promise. If you're saved today, if you're a Christian today, God has given you a promise regarding a future possession, a future possession. And that possession is the earth. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 5, that's an easy reference to remember, says, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus, "The meek shall inherit the earth." At the moment, we're strangers on this earth. That is, we're treated as if we don't really belong here. Our opinions, nobody wants to hear them. Our views, nobody wants to hear them. We're strangers. But this earth is ours, according to God's promise, and one day we will possess it. And by possessing it, it means that we will rule over it, govern it, have it as ours. Have it as ours. And it's something that most Christians hardly even think about. Maybe quite a few of them don't even know that God has promised them the earth. Well, he has. So there is a picture in what is told us here about Abraham and his sojourn in the land of Canaan. There he was a stranger, even though God had promised to him that land. So we can learn from that. Let's first of all continue the study that we started last week and say that like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, we are presently pilgrims. Pilgrims. You know what a pilgrim is? Pilgrim is someone on a journey. On a journey. They might stop overnight in a lodging place, but it's only overnight because they're traveling on. To sojourn, for that's what it says of Abraham in the verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. To sojourn means to live as a stranger. To live as a stranger. He lived in a tent. It says that he dwelt with Isaac and Jacob in tabernacles. A tent. A temporary home. A temporary home. He didn't even have a grave. Didn't even have a grave. Because when his beloved wife, Sarah, died, he had to go and say to those men he knew in Hebron if they would be so kind as to let him have a little plot of ground to bury Sarah. Genesis chapter 23 in the verse 4 says, "And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abram stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, they lived there, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. So, this man Abraham, to whom God had promised the land of Canaan, here he is, almost begging for a little plot of ground to bury his dead, his beloved wife. And boys and girls, that really is a picture of how it is with us. We are strangers. And let me tell you, old ones, the direction that the world is taking, we are going to become more and more strangers in this land. More and more counted as outcasts. You may not have noticed how things are moving in the land, but that's a fact, and you're going to discover that sooner or later. Christians in this world, generally speaking, have always been outsiders, strangers, just like Abraham. Even though God has promised this world to us. The second thing I want to quickly say this morning is that Abraham, even though he was a stranger, was looking for a city. He had the very highest hopes regarding the future. He lived in a tent. He was a stranger in the land of Canaan. But he knew it's not going to always be like this. God is going to keep his promise to me, and I'm going to have a city. Look at what it says in the verse 10 of Hebrews. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. There he was, wandering about in the land of Canaan, putting up his tent one day and taking it down another day. Looked upon by all the people in the land of Canaan, who is this stranger? What's he doing here? And many of them would have said, he has no right to be here. But in the heart of that man, there was a vision of what God was going to give him, a city. A city. I want you to notice what we're told about the city, because listen, boys and girls, I'll say it again, God can say an awful lot in just a few words. And there's only a few words here about the city. In fact, since few means approximately five, God doesn't even employ that many words. There's two things God says about this city. It has foundations, that's the first thing. Now, you know enough about house building, and you've seen enough houses being built. And the first thing that the men do who set out to build the house is to start digging down into the ground and they're putting in foundations. Because if they didn't do that and just built the house on top of the ground, it would sink, collapse. So they put in foundations, strong concrete foundations, and then they build the house. And the house is firm and stable and safe. And the city that God was going to give to Abraham had foundations. It was going to last, wasn't going to crumble, going to last forever. That's what we have as well. We have the same hope of an everlasting inheritance. Then it says, this city, it hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. So we have the fact that it has foundations, but we're also told who its architect and builder is. Who designed the city? Who constructed the city? God. God. I can't tell you, I can't even begin to tell you what a glorious structure this is. What a glorious structure this is. In Hebrews chapter 13, just two chapters over from where you are, and the verse 14, we read, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We don't have in this present world anything that's permanent. anything that continues. But there's one coming. There's one coming. And it's the city that Abraham also was looking for. The city whose builder and maker is God. Maybe it's a little bit of homework. You could read from Revelation chapter 21, the verses 2 to 8. And there's a wonderful picture of the city that one day we will have as ours and share with Abraham. What a city. What a city it is. Thirdly, we must never set our eyes on the things of this earth. But we must copy the example given us by Abraham and look for that which God has promised us. He looked for a city that God would give him. He didn't set his affections on the things of earth. It was what God would one day in the future give him that he was looking for. He had a nephew. Abraham had a nephew. He was called Lot. Now, he was a different character. He had eyes for this earth only. And when he and Abraham's flocks became really too big for them to live together, and they had to separate, he looked round him to see what direction he would go in, and he saw how that down by the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the land was good. It didn't matter to him. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were the most wicked people in the land. He had eyes only for the riches of the earth. Off he went there, and disaster followed him, as you well know, in the story of Lot. Well, we're not to be like Lot. We are to be like Abraham. We're to have our eyes upon a heavenly inheritance. And not look to the things of earth. When you look out on the earth, you should always think, it's not going to last. You know, a lot of young people have as their ambition that when they leave school, they're going to leave home. And they're going to head for the big city. That's where all the excitement is, they think. But let me tell you, the big city will one day perish. Belfast, London, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Cardiff, New York, Moscow, all the rest of it, they're all going to crumble. They're destined to come to an end. We're not to look to the things of this earth, but rather we, like Abraham, must look to that which God has promised and which will come to pass. I'll give you one verse. I have a whole lot of verses that I could have given you, but I'll give you Colossians. You older ones can turn back a few pages. Colossians chapter 3. If ye be risen with Christ, that is, if you have the life of Christ within you, if you're saved, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Please, young people, let that be the pattern, the plan around which you build your life. And when you leave here, aye, and even while you're here, but especially when you leave here and head out to employment, don't set your affections on earthly things, but remember where Christ is, and keep your eyes on him, and set your affections on all that is of him, and pursue his cause in this world, and seek to promote that which is his interest. One last thing, and then we close. When we consider the beauties and splendors of this earth, how glorious will be this city, our eternal home. Now this earth is about 6,000 years old, and man has rubbished this earth during those 6,000 years. He has been a destroyer of the earth. You have heard, of course, of all the rubbish that man is constantly disposing of most carelessly. You only have to drive down the road, and last night somebody had a fish and chip, and what did they do? They threw the remains, the container, the paper, threw it out the window. They didn't care about tidiness or anything else. Shameful, wicked thing to do. But that's happening all over the world. Men are employed to gather up this rubbish. It's a major problem in the world. Men are just desecrating God's creation. You know, the whole problem of the fires in Australia, and we're told that it's caused by man and how he has lived for hundreds of years. Well, whether or not that's altogether true, we do know that man is a maker of rubbish. You know that out in the ocean, because of the way tides and currents move in the ocean, there is an area as big as Ireland and more of rubbish that has been swept together, and it's sitting there. A huge area of rubbish just floating in the ocean. Never be destroyed until the Lord cleans up the earth. That's what man does. And yet, even with man destroying the earth for these thousands of years that he has been on it, it is still very, very largely a most beautiful place. A most beautiful place. And that gives us some idea of the beauty of the city that God will create. Do you see the point I'm making? If the earth that God made 6,000 years ago, desecrated by man since its creation, yet still it retains immeasurable beauty, how much more beautiful will be that which comes clean and pure from the hand of God, and it will be yours. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Nothing will ever compare to that which God will give to you, you who are saved. If you're not saved today, you have no part in that city. That's why we constantly urge you to get saved. Because the place God has prepared for those who are not saved is anything but a beautiful city. It's a place of eternal torment. Oh, heed the gospel today. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word to every heart, Lord. Only by thy Spirit can the words of a man make an impression. Hear us today. Bless the children. Keep them safe. Think of the field trip that will now begin. Pray you'll be with those who will partake in it, and preserve and protect them. For Jesus' sake, amen.